raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too are raised with Christ, and we too can live a new life. We leave behind that old dead way of living and thinking and behaving and treating people, and we rise to walk in a brand new life in Christ. You that are going to be baptized this morning, it's like a drama that's being played out in front of your family and your church family and your friends, that you're testifying to them, showing them that you've been buried, that old man is dead and buried, and you're resurrected to live a new life in Christ, to walk with Him, and you're going to live like Him. You're all in. That's why we immerse people. You are all in. It's not just a little bit of you getting wet. It's all of you wet, because you are all completely born again, a new life. The old is gone, and the new comes to life. A new life, that's what I'm talking about. And a new life that produces new fruit. The fruit of death, the fruit of that old man, that old way of living, anger and rage and jealousy and unforgiveness, holding grudges and hurting people and getting even and taking out vengeance and lying and deceiving, cheating on people. All that was what death produced in you. That's contamination that comes along with sin and death. But life, new life in Christ, produces life-giving fruit. The fruit of a new life, a new spirit at work in us. So Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of a new life. And just as death contaminates and brings disease and more death, new life in Christ influences and spreads healing and hope and laughter and peace. The fruit of the Spirit, joy and kindness and patience and self-control and gentleness with people. When you meet Jesus and you receive that new life, you become a carrier of new life. Instead of being contagious and you're spreading disease, you're spreading hope. And you're spreading new life because you're a carrier of the hope that's within you that Jesus has given you. Be a spreader of new life today. Amen? Amen? Thank God for that new life. Now, I want a couple of folk to join me here. Pastor Brian and Michael Hudson are going to join me this morning. And Michael shared his testimony a few months ago in New Community on a Wednesday night. And so I heard a little bit of it on Facebook. Somebody had posted that. I'm going to scoot back a little bit so I can see you guys a little better. And I said, you know what, I think we need to do that some Sunday morning. I think people need to hear a little bit of this new life. And so you know which one's which. That's Brian over there. And this is Michael right here, my friend. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell people a little bit of where you came from.
So my name is Michael Hudson. I have two beautiful little girls, Allie and Raylan. And basically growing up, I grew up in a church. My grandpa was an Assembly of God's preacher. And basically growing up, church was good for them. That wasn't really for me. While I'm being raised in a church, I also have an uncle who was a drug dealer. And he demanded respect. And that's very visible. So he said it, it got done, or he became violent. And so sometime growing up, I decided that's how I'm going to be. So by the time I realized that it was never respect that my uncle got, it was just fear. And that my grandpa received respect, it was too late. I really didn't care. It was fear. It got me the same thing. It got me what I wanted. And I was okay with that. So I ended up selling drugs most of my life. And I find myself, about 21 years old, I find myself in prison. And I'm going to court, and I'm offered 5 25s, a 7 and a 3. Run wild, meaning that I'm going to be in prison approximately 135 years. So
you got 5 25s, 5 25-year sentences, a 7-year sentence, and a 3-year sentence.
Yes,
so 135 years is what.
That's what they wanted to give me. Yes.
Yeah.
So I said I'm not going to sign for that. You're going to have to give it to me. And I took it to jury trial. In the morning of jury trial, the district attorney says, Oh, we lost all the evidence and all they have. They got me with the position of a precursor in the presence of a minor child, and I did 3 years. So never in my mind did I think, oh, God probably has something to do with this. I just thought they're dumb and I'm lucky and let's do it. So that time in prison.
That's the criminal mastermind right
yeah.
there.
So
they're dumb and I'm lucky.
You were still far from God. You weren't doing anything to serve God. But now you look and you go, boy, that was probably God's hand shaping my story.
Exactly.
So this wasn't anything you did or deserved or earned. This was just God's mercy and grace and God's provision.
Yeah.
So 135 years to 3 years, that may be God doing something on his own because he loves you. He's got a plan for you. That's going to be important later.
That I was completely undeserving of, yes. So I go to prison that time and there was no change. I got there. It's pretty much a little city and a fence, and I still sold drugs and I still fought and I still did whatever I was doing before. It wasn't that big of a change to me. I get out of prison 3 years later, and I decide I'm going to do things right. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to get married, and all of that turned out to be a big failure too, but I was trying. And somewhere in 2009, I'm working in the oil industry, falls out, and I find myself jobless again. And I put in 162 applications, and they didn't want to hire me. I have too many felonies. So back to selling drugs again. And soon after that, I find myself in prison again. And this time in prison, I don't fight with everybody. I go on a long crew team, and I start mowing grass in prison. And I eventually go to welding school and become a certified welder. But basically, every day in prison, I was in the chapel. They had church every night in prison. And I told myself, I'm going to do things right, so we're going to learn about this stuff. And I get out of prison, and my family gets back together, and everything's going good, but it absolutely did not turn out right either. We did all right. We bought a new house. I got my job back. I got a new truck. And on Valentine's Day in 2014, my dad passed away. And at this point in my life, they called me to tell me at work. And I told them basically that I would be there when I get off. And because in my mind, I know I'm not coming home. I'm going to get high. And that's exactly what I did. And my life was in a big downward spiral from then until I end up in an accident.
So tell us, so the accident, just to, because you don't really remember all that happened or whatever, but basically we're hit by a truck, run over, not just not knocked down, but we think run over, like your head got run over because it was a traumatic brain injury, broken ribs, messed up.
Yeah. So basically what happens is I find myself in a hospital. I really have no idea how I got there. I was told I fell out of the back of a truck. The doctors think I was ran over. And I'm there for maybe a month before I wake up. I'm put in an induced coma. My head was fractured from my nose around my left side of my head to my right ear. And they had to take my scalp off and let my brain swell 7.5 inches outside my head.
So I'm looking right now at the scar that runs on the side of your head. Now let me tell you, kind of, because he doesn't remember all that. He's going to wake up in a month in the hospital. Let me tell you what happened before that. Years and years and years before that. I mean, we've got to keep an eye on the time, but years and years before that, Daryl Wooten, who was the youth pastor here, had started. He and Alan and Cheryl McQuarrie and a bunch of folk, they started a ministry upstairs called In the House. It was pretty cool back in the day, wasn't it? And kids in the neighborhood would come, and it was a Friday night deal and hang out, and we'd tell them about Jesus and whatever. One of the kids that came to that was Michael's sister, Rebecca. I don't know if she's here or not. Where are you at? She's there. She is back there. So Rebecca came here as a girl. Michael didn't, but Rebecca did. So we fast forward years, and Rebecca's got four kids, and her youngest ones, I think, the girls, whatever, said, hey, we want to go to that church. We want to go to that church because the stuff that was going on here, I mean, we did after-school clubs and all those activities. We want to go to that church. And Rebecca said, I remember that church. I went there when I was a kid, went to the youth thing that they had called In the House. And so the kids start, Rebecca's kids start coming, and then Rebecca starts coming on Wednesday night, and this transformation starts happening to Rebecca. And so she gives her heart to Jesus. She's going to a Bible study at Sarah's house on Monday nights. So when she invited him once, I think he said he came one time and didn't really want to be here, which was, Brian can testify, that was obvious that he didn't want to be here. And so he came once or twice. So it's the middle of the night, and Michael's in the hospital. He's had this accident. She calls Sarah, calls Pastor Brian, and says, my brother is in the hospital. They don't think he's going to live. Will you come? And so they go to the hospital to pray. Everybody, the doctors, Sarah and Brian walked out and went, well, we're going to figure out how to do a funeral for this guy because he's going to die. Everybody thought he was going to die, I think, except Rebecca, who was saying, he's not going to die. Can't die because he doesn't know Jesus, and we got to get him saved. So all that's going on in the heavenly somewhere while Michael's laying there in a coma, not knowing what's going on, and then he comes out of there.
So I want to start.
He didn't die.
That's right. So I do come out of the coma and wake up to a cage. It was actually like a playpen upside down. It was zipped up so I couldn't fall and hurt myself. But the first thing I remember was I'm using a restroom on myself, and they're going to let me out of the cage today. And so I assumed it was a good idea to punch the doctor out. And so they do put me back in an induced coma, and they move me. So when I wake up again, I'm in a different place again. But the first thing I really, I remember that, but the first significant thing I remember is Brian showing up. And so when I woke up, I know my daughter, and I know my mom and my aunt, but I don't know my sister. So when Brian shows up, the first time I've ever seen him, I got my helmet on, and I'm in my pajama bottom, pants, and a gown, and I'm getting coffee, and Brian comes walking down the hall, and I said, freaking know you. Now, it's kind of funny, but I've only seen him once. I'm pretty sure I was here once. And he said, what's my name? I said, I have no idea, but you're a preacher. And Brian thought that was
because I had
funny.
Seen Michael 5, 6, 7 times in the hospital by then, and he didn't know who I was at all. So one day I get off the elevator, and he turns around and says, I know you. And that was a pretty amazing moment.
Yes. So pretty much, I'm doing all kinds of stuff at the hospital, but I was in there for 2 months, and right about a week and a half or a week before they let me out, they put my skull back on, and they stitched me up, and the doctor says two very important things to me. If you ever do the drugs you were doing when you came here, you'll have a brain aneurysm, there'll be nothing we can do for you. And he said, and I did everything I can do for you, it wasn't enough to save your life, so you might want to think about who did that. And I get out of the hospital, and I started coming here basically for one reason, because Brian was there, and I realized that he's about to have the brain surgery for his tumor, and he just stayed at the hospital with me that had having brain surgery, and I'm supposed to die. And I thought, that's courageous. So I showed up for that on Wednesday nights because y'all feeded me. And that was pretty much it. But things started changing. And I would have bad thoughts and about doing some really horrible things. One important thing that happened to me while I was in the hospital was that my daughter decided she's going to tell me what actually happened to me and who actually ran over me. And pretty much I just told her, we're going to have to kill that person. And I went to sleep that night completely thinking that in the hospital. And I woke up the next morning and that was gone. I did own guns at the time, and I did get rid of those the next day from the hospital. So that was the first major thing I knew that was different. Then the doctor told me this stuff about the drugs and saving me that it wasn't him. So when I get out, I still have a couple bad thoughts, and I'm coming here, and I start to realize that I can pray about to take these thoughts away from me, and it works. And they would go away, and there was one specific time that they didn't go away, but I made it to church, and me and Brian talked about that, and they did go away, and I haven't had them since. So it was little things, guys. It wasn't, you saved my life. That's a miracle. That's all good. It's over with. That ain't how it went. Little things happened. God continues to work in my life today to bring things that I don't even realize I have an issue with to my attention. And it changes. So maybe 3 years ago, if you cut me off, we might have to fight out at the stoplight because mm-hmm. that's how mad I would get. And now I just seem to think to myself, I'm glad I'm not having a bad day like them. So it's...
There's a lot of people out here that are still working on that part of their sanctification process there. Whatever.
So I find myself here and
It's a new life.
It's very new. I used... Everything was about me before. If it didn't benefit me right now, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And over the last 2.5 years since I've been here at A Day of Hope, so what I said, at A Day of Hope, changing oil, I was perfectly content with that. And then this year, Pastor Sarah pushed my boundaries and made me a host, and that was okay. I got lucky and knew the family that I hosted. It made it very easy for me.
Come on, Mike, you got lucky? We sat here talking about how God is doing things way back, and you're going to tell us you got lucky?
I don't know what
you mean
it was.
God knows what He's doing, and He aligned it just right.
Exactly
so
what
you
happened.
You could be with someone who you could speak into their lives.
Who I, yes.
I'm going to call you on that.
And be comfortable with it. You're absolutely right about that. So it was okay that I was pushed beyond my boundaries, and I enjoyed it. But before that, I was okay just changing the oil, and on Wednesdays, my daughter... befriended Kenneth, and we started picking up trays on Wednesday nights. And at this time, Brian has talked me into leaving my YouVerse Bible app, put it down a little bit, and just read the New Testament from the beginning to the end. So I'm doing this with Raylene while she's there, and we get to Matthew, and it's talking about being a servant. To be first, you must be last, and all this stuff. And she's like, what does that mean? I told her that's exactly what we do on Saturday. On Wednesday when we pick up the trays. We're just being a servant because every tray we pick up, the people are capable of picking up their self. We're not doing it because of that. We're doing it because we're trying to be a servant and faithful. And so that's been a thing. So on June 18th in 2017, I got baptized in the gym, and became a member of the church. And so what God's doing in my life, I realized that this June 26th of this year, my youngest daughter, Raylene, got baptized. And so what God's not just doing in my life, He's doing it. It's generational. Yeah. And my kids are receiving the same kind of blessings. And really had nothing to do with me changing anything because I was perfectly fine being bad. And somehow I've...
God's grace.
Came here.
We call that God's grace.
And like I said, I thought it was because of Brian being courageous. But when I got here, there were several people that knew my family. Roy Hood, Archie back there. They knew my family, so... I realized it was not my choice. God planted me here. And it just took a little while for me to realize these things that God was doing that In my mind, it was all me, you know. Brian is courageous and I should go there. Had nothing to do with that. So,
God orchestrated so many pieces to this story. The important thing is that this new life, I remember saying to him more than a year ago, probably, the change in you is so dramatic. You know, he said, you know, I don't even think the way I used to think about other people. Like you were saying about the car, things used to happen and I acted one way. That's not even there anymore. I don't even think about that. That's not turning over a new leaf. That's a new life. And that's evidence of that grace at work in him. And that grace now is at work in his girls and other members of the family. That we'd said earlier, just, you know, thinking about his grandpa, I knew his grandfather, and you know, he had already gone to heaven when these things were happening or whatever. I'm sure he prayed lots of prayers for Michael, for Rebecca, and other family members. You may be praying for somebody and you think, boy, they're so messed up and so lost. How are they ever going to find Jesus? You may go to heaven before it happens, but your prayers are still making a difference, and there's new life that's coming. So I know we've got to wrap this up because we've got people to be baptized. Are the kids down here already? The kids are coming down. Is that right? So they may be waiting to do this. Brian or Michael, either one, what's the parting word here, and we'll start getting ready.
You know, I tell Michael this. I've said it before. I say it again. You know, Michael's story inspires me so much because it doesn't, you know, Pastor, you're talking about being alive but dead on the inside. That's where Michael found himself, yeah. Dead on the inside. And now he's alive on the inside, and it's completely different. And so when I face situations in church and you look at people, you go, man, there's so much brokenness in someone's life. When I look at myself in the mirror and I realize how much brokenness is in me, what I realize is that, man, I'm one decision away. Everyone, we're one decision away from being transformed, from being made whole. Like, Jesus can reach us no matter where you are. You know, it took a pickup truck to get Michael's attention. We don't want that for you. But wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, realize that God is with you and God is there and God has a solution. This morning, the message was from God that know that whatever path you're on, Jesus is with you and he's going to bring you to something. And boy, I don't envy you your path, Michael, not at all. But I envy you your future because I know you're walking with Jesus and I know God's got amazing things in store for you. So I'm excited about Michael is moving and looking to get back into prison and the ministry this time. That's an important detail. To go back in and to talk to guys who he understands. He's been there and he can relate with. And bring the story of Jesus and hope to them. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to do incredible and amazing and wonderful things in your life. Because you're staying on the path with him. And I believe that for each of you. Wherever you find yourself right now, you may be in a great spot, you may be in a terrible spot, but you're on a path. Jesus has a plan to move you forward and to bring you into life and hope and joy, and it's what we celebrate with baptism today. It's the drama that we act out, that we can die to all that old death and loss, and we can be raised new in life and hope. And so we're thrilled and excited about that. Michael, I'm so proud of you. Not because you've done anything, because it was all Jesus, but because you partnered with him and you surrendered to him and you're willing to walk with him. And I love you and you inspire me. And I consider it a blessing to be your friend. And every day I say, you know, man, if God can do it in Michael, he can do it in that person or in me in my own life. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. You want to share Jeremiah 29?
So basically, out of this whole story, I just want everybody to know that your storm and my storms may not look anything alike. But all the storms we go through are equally important in showing God's saving grace and love and mercy. So when the storms come and everything seems broken and you have no idea what to do, just do what I do and remember Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." And he's very good at that job. I promise you that.
Amen. 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 Whether you're looking at 135 years in prison, or whether you're in a coma for 2 months because somebody ran over your head, God still has a plan for you. And wherever you are in your journey, whether you're sitting here, you're watching on your device or whatever, wherever you are in the world, God still has a plan, a purpose, a calling for you. And you know what? The amazing thing is, He still causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And he had said before, I hate to say that the greatest day of my life was the day I got run over, you know, and suffered a brain injury. But that was the beginning of this journey that brought him to faith, that brought him to this transformation that's happened in his life. We asked the children to come join us this morning for the baptism part of this, so they get to be a part of that. So that's why you're watching them arrive. And you that are going to be baptized, if you want to head that direction, and I think maybe you've already got instructions, or you may already be out there, but if not, you can walk up that ramp and go back behind, or you can go out that door, whichever way. And some other people are going to come out here because they know what ought to be happening besides me in just a minute. But we're going to pray, and I'm going to let moms and dads know too that at the end of the service, we'll dismiss the children to go back upstairs, because otherwise it would be chaos and herding cats and things. So the kids will go back upstairs and you'll pick your children up like you always do to check them out so that they stay safe and nobody goes home with the wrong child, because we all know how bad that would be. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to get to baptizing folk this morning. If it feels hopeless, if you're in a storm, maybe you're watching from a hospital room where the circumstances are just as hopeless as what Michael's situation has been or was, just know that there is hope. God has hope and a future for you. Would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Lord, I pray for Michael's testimony of faith today. Thank you, Lord, for what's happened in his life. And I just pray, Lord, your grace to continue to be upon him. And for all that are listening today, for all that are here this morning or listening later, I pray, Lord, that your grace would be upon them, that they would understand that you do have a plan and a purpose. There is hope for them. Lord, there was hope for Michael, even though it looked hopeless, because if we call upon you, if we turn to you, you said you would hear us and you would answer. If we confess our sins, you will be faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. If we call upon you, you will answer us and show us these incredible things. That's what you've done. That's the testimony we've heard today. Lord, it's not just turning over a new life, a new leaf, but you will give us a new life so we can truly, truly know what it is to live that abundant life. Lord, I pray that for all who call upon you today, grant to them that amazing, abundant life that's available through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I thank you today that you've not forsaken us. Regardless, Lord, of where we are on the journey, you're still there calling us, bidding us to come to you, to come in repentance, to come in faith, to come and walk with you, to come and trust you. And we know that things will never be the same when we put our hope and our trust in you. Let it be for all who call on you in faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 All right. I think we're getting ourselves ready here. I'm going to move this stuff out of the way. And we're going to be ready to rejoice with some folk in baptism. think they suggested that I do a soft shoe dance of some sort. And I had the cane, but I just didn't have the shoe for it. Here we go. All right.
No, it's just really cold. How are you, Luke?
I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, hurry up and get this finished, right?
Yeah.
So this is Luke. This is my friend Luke Cooper. He's an incredible young man. Been coming here for a little while. Went to Mexico City with us on a missions trip this last summer. And Luke just loves Jesus. And it's just really neat. You may have eaten his mom's cooking. She cooks here on Wednesday night. It's okay. we are just so proud to have this whole family here. And but you are a blessing and an inspiration to so many other teenagers that are in this youth group. People look at you. They look up to you. They just want to be like you. And I'm just so thankful for your faithfulness and your willingness to do whatever God wants you to do. You go above and beyond anything that anyone ever asks of you. And I'm just so glad that you're here and that we have an opportunity to pour into your life. And so, Luke, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to get baptized this morning?
Yes.
All right. Is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to do this. So by your humble confession and faith in serving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my friend Diego. And Diego is precious. He's just an incredible young man. He loves God with all of his heart. And anyone and everyone that ever sees him at school knows that his relationship with Jesus is strong. He lives it on the field, in the classroom, and here. And I just want to say thank you for being that light to young men and to young women that look at you and say, I want to be like Diego, because Diego loves Jesus. And, you know, so many people look at Diego and they'll say, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You're Metzley's brother. And the truth is, you're writing your own book, and you're a leader. And I'm so glad that God put you here, and that God gave us an opportunity to pour into your life. He does a lot of things with me. He builds things with me, and works with me. He was up here last night filming the baptistry, him and his dad, trying to fix it where it wouldn't be some code, and we failed at that. But I'm so thankful that they're here. Thank you, Mom, for raising up students who love Jesus. Thank you, Willie, for showing him that, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. I'm so proud of you as a dad. And thank you for honoring your parents and doing what they tell you to do. God's got great things for you. So, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. By your humble confession and faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How are you, Izzy?
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm cold.
So is your cold. What can I say about Izzy? She is amazing. She's a new sixth grader that came into youth just this year. And everyone has fallen in love with her. Her enthusiasm and her excitement, her energy is just off the chart. And she just loves Jesus. It's neat. She told Nancy and Jamie the other day, she's like, I don't know what y'all are doing, but I got to get to church on Wednesday. I got to get there and for the block party. So, but Nancy and Jamie, thank you. This is a testimony to your faithfulness in your, and you are incredible grandparents. And thank you so much. You're incredible parents, but thank you so much for what you've done and what you're doing. You are not only instilling in her what it means to love Jesus, you're showing that in her. And through your life, and you are incredible people, who have done an incredible job raising an incredible young lady. And now enough about them. Let's talk about you. You are amazing. And I'm so glad that you're a part of CAGI. I'm so glad that you left Pastor Brittany and now you're with us. And so I know she was sad when you left because she said you were a leader and that you were her right-hand man. And that's incredible. And so I just want to say thank you for living a life that's pleasing and showing people Jesus. So are you ready to be baptized?
Yeah.
All right.
I do this right? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
You got to see. I love her. She's awesome. All right. By your humble confession and faith in serving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
About it's perfectly warm in here. Just kidding, it's freezing. Okay. Oh, that's really cold. This is Natasha. And how long have you been coming to Carbondale?
Oh, almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. And Natasha is not shy, and so if you haven't met her, that's strange. But you have made so many inroads and so many friends in this place, and I'm so glad that God placed you here in the Carbondale family. And you add so much in your own expression of worship, and your personality is so outgoing and so joyous, and you can't be in a bad mood and talk to Natasha, because you'll be in a better mood afterwards, because it's contagious, the joy that you have. And I think that joy comes from the Lord. That is your strength and is who you are, and it's who God has made you to be. And so we're delighted that that you're here at Carbondale, that you're a part of our worship and our choir, and that you're making this decision. So you got saved as a kid, grew up in church?
Yes, I've been in church pretty much all my life. I know that there was a time when I wanted a specific age that I remembered, okay, I dedicated my life at this point, and so I'm 12. And I was at home, and I just rededicated my life to God.
But then she came a couple weeks ago and said, I've never been baptized, actually. And so so I'm proud of you for taking that step today and for doing that. So we'll do this thing so that we can go get warm. Do you want to hold your nose?
Yes.
Upon the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Is there more to come, or is that it? Somebody tell me. Somebody back there that's whispering. Because I think that's supposed to be it, but you never know, you know, because sometimes it's like, oh, there's somebody showed up and said, no, I want to be baptized. I've also seen preachers do that, like, after a wedding. Anybody else want to get married? So, if you know Jesus and you haven't been baptized, you may want to wait till the water's warm, so... There's a heat pump on that thing, and apparently it went out yesterday. So, anyway, it makes me remember that my dad was baptized, I think, on December the 22nd in Spring Creek in Sepulpa. I think they broke ice to get in there. So, at least it's indoors. You understand how that works. So, anyway, thank you for being here. Thanks for supporting these good folk that have followed the Lord in obedience today. We thank the Lord for that. I'm thankful for who He is. Aren't you thankful for what the Lord's done? Thankful for that saving grace. Thankful for the hope that we have. I'm thankful that there are generations. There's grandparents and parents and then grandkids getting baptized today and guests that have come today. We honor you for being here today. I'm just thankful to see the workings of grace in these families and in these lives. And so, Father, I thank you for those who are baptized today. Thank you for new life that comes to all who put their faith and their trust in you. Lord, we pray your grace to continue to be upon this congregation, your mercy to strengthen us, to go with us. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of your presence, and your mercy shown to us, may it be with us and encourage us today. May we be contagious in our faith, and may we truly spread hope and life to those that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.